Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We are finishing up Luke chapter 12, and the last context is 54 through 59.
And he said also to the crowds, "What you see, a cloud rising in the west, straightway you say a shower comes, and so it comes to pass. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it comes to pass. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the face of the earth and the heaven, but how is it that you know not how to interpret this season? And why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? For as thou art going with thine adversary before a ruler on the way, give diligence to be quit of him, lest haply he drag thee into the judge, and the judge shall deliver you to the exactor, and the exactor shall cast you into prison. I tell you, thou shalt in no wise come out of there until you have paid the very last mite."
You know, this is, we're not even in the New Testament yet. We're reading in the book of Luke. We've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we haven't read John yet. We're moving along in Luke. And again, let's remind ourselves, this is still Old Testament. Even though it says you've got big writing, New Testament, even Panin said New Testament at the beginning of these, they're really under the Old Testament law yet. And without the death of the testator, the New Covenant is of no effect. So this did not happen until the last 5%. I'm just going to say on average, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 95% of those Gospels is in the Old Testament law. And you'll see, like in Matthew chapter 8, that he healed that one person, and that person was told to go and offer the gift that Moses had prescribed and show himself to the priest for that healing. And he says that not just in Matthew chapter 8, but he says it in other places, Mark and Luke, and that showing us that the Old Testament is still in effect until the very end. And the gospel that really shows the New Testament in action is what? Living in action pretty fully is the book of Acts. He's already died.
Right.
And so the very first book in the Bible that is New Testament, and they should have slipped that in there. Well, or it should have been put, it'd have been confusing though, wouldn't it? If you'd have put it in Matthew in one of the last chapters, and then Mark, one of the last chapters, and Luke and John, it's actually when Jesus dies on the cross, that very moment, the New Testament begins. The death of the testator. You can't go move into grandma's house and move her out until she has died. It's not your house yet. You inherit her. Some people, boy, we really see that in these last days. We see that with some people happening where the people try to, and the person's still alive, and they're fighting over their body while they're alive so they can control the inheritance. They get them to change wills. And this is something, I'm going to be talking about this, and you know, it affects a lot of people. When people see them being treated rudely, they want their money, they don't care about their body and their life. And that's our day and age. We're into some really interesting times, but this has always been the case, though. How many murders are because people want money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say a good majority of murders, not accidental deaths, but murders are because of money. And it doesn't happen. And Jesus took our place, died for our sins. The righteous had to be a lamb without spot or blemish. And that has not yet happened. We're still actually under the Old Testament law here in chapter 12 and 13. The season, though, is there's going to be a change in, let's see, where are we looking? We're still, got to find the end of Luke here. This is the season is actually coming to an end of the Old Testament. That's what he's really talking about. The Old Testament ends in verse 46 of chapter 23, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. New Testament begins right next in verse 47. "And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And all the crowds that came together to his sight, seeing what things were done, returned, smiting their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, seeing these things." And not really realizing that only good is going to come out of this, because he's going to come out of the grave 3 days from then, and that will be this season, this New Testament. This is hypocrites in verse that we just read in chapter 12, verse 56. "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the face of the earth and heaven, but how is it you know not how to interpret this season?" Here is the king of the Jews, a man born as a son of man in the book of Luke. The son of man is found how many times in the book of Luke? It's just found chapter after chapter after chapter. I started underlining, "For an hour you think not the son of man comes." We just read that. And on, even go back a few more chapters. In chapter 12 again, talking a word against the Son of Man. Jesus came, and it's time after time again you hear his name as the Son of Man in the book of Luke. He came as Adam's son in the fallen image of man to take away our sins. And he's saying, you know how to interpret the scenes, and you know it's looks like there's going to be rain tomorrow. So they can interpret that, but they don't know. Here is the king of the heavens, the king of creation. The king is here, and he's going to die for them, and you don't get it. He was right in front of their eyes talking to them, and they didn't get it. He says, "You hypocrites, you can interpret the face of the earth. How's it you know not how to interpret this season?" These were to be the religious leaders, and they didn't see Christ when he was there right in front of their eyes, ready to finish the law of Moses, bring everything into perfection, and bring about salvation to mankind. Anything else?
Something he says in here that really gets people's, if you bring it out, it really gets people's attention. He says, "Think that I have come to give peace on the earth. I tell you no, but rather division." And you just stop right there and you go, wait a minute. Does he really say that?
You've actually backed up into verses 52 and 53,
yeah.
Right?
And I am come to bring peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather division. From now on, five will be in a household, three against two and two against three. So people are going to be divided over what Jesus says.
Even in your own house.
In your own house. You can't stop it from happening. It's going to happen.
Some are going to serve God and some are not.
Yes. And they're going like, well, wait a minute, I thought it was everybody's getting along. No, he didn't say that. That's just something to think about.
Count the cost.
Count the cost. Are you going to follow God or follow your friend? No, wait. Are you going to follow God or follow your, oh, wait a minute. You mean your mom or dad? What if they don't want to follow God? What are you going to do?
Or your kids.
Or your children. What are you going to do?
I know some people choose their kids. They choose their kids.
Yeah, they do.
Or their grandkids. Or their mom, or their dad, or their husband, or their wife.
So the people listen to this, now all of a sudden you see Jesus kind of climbed up in your lap and said something here.
Am I going to be more important, or are they?
Yes. This is something that's, don't want to read over that too fast, because this is right where we live. He's talking to us.
Andy just jumped back into the context we read yesterday. Starting in verse 49 of chapter 12, a fire came I to cast upon the earth. And what do I desire if it is already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. In other words, a death, to be submerged. And how am I straightened until it is accomplished? So he's talking about his death, a baptism to be baptized with. Baptism is a death. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you die to yourself. The old man is under the water, and you come up a new man, a new creation. He says, I've not come to bring peace. Now, peace, irene, actually comes from the root word to be able, also to be able to talk. You can talk face to face. And boy, the internet gets in the way there, telephone get in the way, but really talk face to face. So what's going to happen? Division is going to happen. There's going to be some vocal confrontations. People are going to be talking to each other, and maybe not in a peaceful way, and likely not in a peaceful way. It's going to actually bring about where people might even yell at you.
Right, division. Well, like I was saying, they will be divided.
For from now on, five shall be in one house, three against two and two against three. That's kind of an interesting, because there was five in my family growing up as a little boy. I was usually the troublemaker.
Five in my family.
Were there?
Yeah.
And then he even divides out the relationships.
Father and son.
That could happen. He puts one down, another one, mother and daughter. Oh, never with my daughter. There it is. Daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Well, there was a song written, mother-in-law. She worries me so, mother-in-law.
That's a good one, Gil. I never heard that one.
Except for I only have one, and I get along great with mine, so I didn't have that problem. Or my father-in-law. They were wonderful people. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law.
It's interesting that he would divide it out like that.
Yeah.
To let you know, no, I'm really serious here. I'm going to give detail on that, not just say, rather division.
So here you digress back to the one we did yesterday, but that's interesting though, too. Because they are, you know, this is a continuation of what Jesus was talking about.
He brings out other aspects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13, and we're going to go 1 through, this is 1 through 5 is the first context.
Now at that same time, there were some present who were reporting to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you think that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered these things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you think that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse offenders than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
So there's worse sinners and there's less worse sinners.
So, well, that's just how a man is. He goes, well, I'm not as bad as him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your kid could do something and do it equal to the family that you're really angry with, and he could be their kid. And the nature of man is that kid is a worse sinner, and you'd cover up what your kid does or overlook it, or you throw a cloak over it. So we have the worst sinners versus the better sinners.
And he makes them all on even plane. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
What's that word in there? That little three-letter word?
You?
Well, that's one. Mine is ye, so mine's a two. But the other one?
All.
All of us?
All.
Have to repent. There's no better, gooder, or better, for all have sinned and fall short. Sin is an archery term for all miss the mark and fall short of the Holy Spirit of God, the doxa of God.
Well, here we're looking at, well, this person wasn't, I haven't done that, so I'm definitely much better. But according to the Bible, one of the questions would be like, have you ever told a lie? And if a person's told a lie, well, they're still an offender of that.
Well, of the three of us here, Brett and Andy and me, I'm sure we've never compared ourselves to other people, right?
Right.
We've never done that, have we? Sure we have. One thing, the Bible really hits you between the eyes if you let it. I've been doing this for 53 years. It still hit me between the eyes at times. It's just to watch. What layer, I think it's almost like shedding skin, you know, like the old skin. Isn't it funny our skin keeps shedding?
I don't know. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Day by day, really every minute, we lose skin cells.
Right.
And wonder what God is even trying to tell us there, that our flesh, our lusts of our flesh have got to just keep going. And we're going to get something that is so brand new, it's not even going to have the same basis. Our body is, we are of the dust of the ground. That's pretty dirty when you think of it. Our past is dirty. And we're going to get a new heavenly body. We got a lot of shedding to do. And it really starts in a man's heart. And the soul, we have to give our soul over. We have to hate our soul. We cannot love it. We want to love God's will over our own will. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. That one song sings, and mm-hmm. they sing in churches.
Yeah.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting or watching, yielded and still.
Yielded.
Yeah.
Now this verse, this little five verses here, on more than one occasion, I've simply read this verse to some people, and this one man got up off of the couch and said, I'm going to follow God today. And his sister tried to stop him. And his wife tried to stop him, to no avail. This is that loud.
Oh, you mean the father against mother and wife and husband?
He got up. This man, and I'll just say it, this man got up.
What verse are you on?
I'm in 13, 1 through 5.
Okay.
And it was read, and this man got up and pretty much said, I repent. I'm going to follow God. I want to go get baptized right now. And his wife tried to stop him, and his sister tried to stop him, and they did not overcome him. He said, nope, do you need to hear any more? And he goes, nope, I just heard what it said. That's how powerful that is. And the word perish is in there two times. The word repent is in there two times, and the word perish is in there two times. And perish, my dad used to use that word when he was thirsty, but that's not what this means. He used to say, I'm about to perish. But the word perish is two Greek words. It's apo, which means away from, and ulomi has to do with the presence of the Lord. So if a person doesn't repent, they will always be away from the presence of the Lord, and that is a powerful scripture.
That's what eternal death is, separation from God. The word death not only means, it primarily means separation from God.
His presence is not around you. So I'm really excited to see what he might have said next, because I really don't know. And he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years since I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none, cut it down. Why does it also cumber the ground?" And he answering said to him, "Lord, leave it this year also, till I dig about it and dung it, and if the tree bear fruit thenceforth, well, but if not, then thou shalt cut it down."
Well, in Matthew, we read that about the, that's chapter 7, about the bearing fruit. I think it was towards the end of Matthew 7. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Thus every good tree brings forth good fruits, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruits. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruits. Every tree that brings not forth good fruits is cut down and cast into the fire. Surely then by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but who does the will of the Father, the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many mighty works?' And then I'll profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness.'" Fruits are found 7 times that we'll know people by their fruit. And in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. They are things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Those are the 5 aspects of this one fruit of the Spirit. Then in Luke, this is talking about a certain man planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he sought fruit on it. And lo, these 3 years I come. And then he was going to leave it for a 4th year. Isn't that interesting? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I wonder if when we're walking in the Lord, if Matthew isn't our kindergarten, is like a year and doing a daily reading, fellowshipping, and praying, you know, being in God's household, being part of his family. And then the 2nd year and the 3rd year, you know, a tree, a lot of times you'll plant a tree and they'll bear fruit that first year, maybe 1 or 2, right? And then the 2nd year, you know, bears a little bit more. And by the 4th year, it's really starting to produce. 8 years, usually in a vineyard, they think it's productive. It's full production, around 8 years. And that's what my family always told me. So here there is a season when a tree should be bearing fruit. And apparently, I'm going to say Jesus is probably the one saying, yes, don't you think, to the Father,
sure.
"I don't see any fruit.
Go check it out, son.
If there's
anything gentle and lowly and
don't, Jesus, Father, let's not cut it down. Let me dig around it, you know, make sure there's no competition with weeds or other roots."
Now, that's what I was saying before. I didn't know the context that was after the one about repent or perish. Yeah. This one's after it.
Yeah.
Because once a person repents, they go into a place that doesn't say repent or perish anymore. It goes into a place that a lot of time is given, up to 4 years for them to get stable, and God will fight for them.
You ever see what they do in a fruit orchard? One thing, they let the ground go. If you don't let, like you were growing English walnuts, the walnuts we like to eat, they'll put them on a black walnut root. So you see these, if you go to northern, around Red Bluff, we're the very north end of the Great Central Valley, that big growing valley.
Right.
You'll turn the corner and you go on to 99 East going down to Chico. 99 West goes through Corning and Willows and goes, you can either go to San Francisco or go to Sacramento that way. Anyway, you see these trees that have got these huge black bases. That's the black walnut that they've used as the base, and they put a scion, or they graft in an English walnut top because that's the walnut everybody loves. By the way, the black walnut is a better tasting nut, but it's smaller. It's like in super expensive candy. It's very hard to crack a black walnut. But anyway, so people like the English walnuts. They're wonderful, and you can grow them more easily. But the problem is you got to let that ground go fallow for 1 year, because if you don't, the nematodes that live in the soil, they'll die off if you let it go fallow 1 year. It has to be 1 year. But if not, they'll attack the new walnut trees and start killing them. So it's the roots important. So if you ever notice what they do with orchards, they plow between the rows. Sometimes they'll grow asparagus in between the rows, which are not competitive, you know, with the different trees. And so what they do is they have to manicure the ground around it. They don't want anything in competition. They plant each one 20 feet apart, you know, to say they have enough root system. Now they're jamming everything together. Now we got new farming. We'll see how this works. But they might have some real problems later by going against all the laws of nature. We'll see what really happens in the orchards.
So you're getting towards the dig around it.
Yeah.
And put some fertilizer on it.
Yeah.
And
get rid of the competition. Is there any competition?
Let's wait another year.
Yeah.
A year? No, yeah. You tell somebody to wait another year. That is a time frame. I mean, he could have said a day. He didn't. He said a year, something that we can relate to, something that if you were really hopping to get something done, and he says, okay, that's fine. I understand what you're saying. Let's wait one more year.
Well, look back to your fourth year in the Lord. Was a fruit popping out of you, the fruit of the Spirit?
Gilbert, I have no idea. I was a child. What do I was playing with blocks. I don't know.
Yeah but haven't we changed a lot?
Yeah, there's a big change that happens. I know that. But like Andy, I don't know. I don't know what kind of...
Brett was jumping up in the air and spinning all the way around and landing on his feet and laughing and looking at me. That's what he was doing. Hey, Andy. Whoop, and he spins around. Brett was doing all kinds of stuff.
Well, hey, I knew you when you were...
you knew me from the beginning.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. So I think we can see it more with other people than you can in yourself, because this whole thing is you're just living from day to day.
Exactly. A life a day at a time.
Yeah.
But this is a big picture of a thinking that people could have and a thinking of how God really is. He is that kind and patient, and Jesus will do all these things. So he cares. He wants us to make it.
So we need to care for each other.
And if we don't care for each other, and if we don't put this mindset on, the three-year one, if we don't put that on and a situation happens and we just want to do something with it, it's time for Gil to say something.
I wanted you to finish.
Oh. It's time for us to be like Jesus here.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."